بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Zaytuna Institute presents Love for Humanity, delivered by Imam Zaid Shaker at the 31st ICNA Mass Convention in Hartford, Connecticut.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. It's a great blessing to be here. It's a great honor to be here. It's a great inspiration to be here in the presence of so many committed, dedicated, courageous people, and in the presence of the learned, my learned brothers, Imam Siraj, Imam Sheikh Mukhtar, and Zain Bika, and the organizers from ISNA and MASS, worked so hard under very challenging circumstances to put this conference together. And alhamdulillah, it's a great blessing to be here in safety and security, which is a great, great blessing that we should never underestimate. And we thank those who have provided the security for us, all of the governmental, municipal employees. One of the great blessings that Allah Ta'ala mentioned when He mentioned the blessings to the people of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He said, "الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ." That the one who has given them, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ, then worship the Lord of this house. The one who has fed them and provided for them and warded off hunger from them, and the one who has given them security against fear. So this is a great blessing. Security is a great blessing. But it's a blessing like any other blessing. If we don't appreciate it, Allah Ta'ala will take it away. وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. If you give thanks for the blessings Allah has bestowed, He says He will increase us in those blessings. And He says, if you reject those blessings, then you should know that My punishment is severe. So security is a great blessing. We didn't have to file with the secret police to have this conference. We didn't have to register. We didn't have to pay off anyone illicitly. We had to pay Marriott and the Connecticut Convention Center. But we didn't have to bribe any officials. So these are all great blessings. The theme of the conference, living Islam, loving humanity. And maybe some people think that this is just PR. Some people, as Imam Siraj mentioned, about PR. Not that some people might think that this is PR, but you could take it that way. You could say the Muslims, there's a lot of heat on the Muslim community. They're under the microscope. So they need to engage in PR tactics. And some people could look at it that way. But the way I look at it is that you cannot live Islam without loving humanity. You cannot live Islam without loving humanity. And if anyone thinks that that's something I'm making up, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. Then no one of you believes. So you cannot be a complete believer. No one of you believes. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. Until he loves for his brother, until she loves for her sister, or he loves for his brother and sister, and she loves for her brother and sister, that which you love for yourself. So how does this relate to humanity? Many of our scholars, they say, حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ until he or she loves for his brother and sister, they say his or her brother and sister in humanity. His or her brother and sister in humanity. So the completion of our faith lies in our loving our brothers and sisters in humanity. And many of us understand how powerful that is. I'm sure because someone loved me, they extended the invitation of Islam to me. They worked so that I could get my hand on a book about Islam. They might not have been thinking about me in particular, but their general love for people like me made it possible for me, as Imam Siraj said, made it possible for me to experience the greatest day in my life, the day I became a Muslim. And that day was so overwhelming, I couldn't even talk about it for a couple years. They would have testimonials. People come up and testify. Tell people how you became a Muslim. And I get up in front of the people and I say, I couldn't talk about it. That's how powerful it was. That's how wonderful it was. And someone loved me. As I recently had the opportunity to participate in a program with Dr. Cornel West. And he said something, we were talking about Malcolm X and Dr. Martin Luther King. And he said that Malcolm X only became, and I'm paraphrasing him, he only became Malcolm X because somebody loved Malcolm Little. Because Elijah Muhammad, he said that Elijah Muhammad from Sandersville, Georgia, loved Malcolm Little. And because he loved Malcolm Little became Malcolm X. And because Malcolm Little became Malcolm X, the love that he had stored up in his heart for his people was unleashed. It was there all the time. But it needed something to bring it out. See, Malcolm X, even before the love of Elijah Muhammad for him, he had the potential to be Malcolm X. Malcolm Little had the potential to be Malcolm X because his mother and his father were great people. And as a child, they instilled in him the virtue and the values that the world would see in Malcolm X. His mother was a writer for the Marcus Garvey newspaper. His father was an organizer for the Garveyist movement. They would take Malcolm with them as they went about the countryside preaching the message of Marcus Garvey, preaching a message of love for the African people, preaching a message of solidarity, preaching a message of upliftment, preaching a message of do for self. And those messages found their way into Malcolm's heart, but he needed a catalyst to stimulate their release. And he found that catalyst in the guidance and the leadership of Elijah Muhammad. And then he developed and he matured until he found further guidance in the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, why do I say that, brothers and sisters? Your ability to love humanity is already there. All of the young people, don't give up on these young people. Don't write them off. They grew up in your homes. They might be listening to something you would never listen to. They might be wearing something you would never wear. They might be saying things you would never say, but they are your children and they grew up in your homes and they're only waiting for someone like Elijah Muhammad to come along and unleash the potential that you have placed in them. Don't give up on the youth. Love them. They're part of humanity. Love them. and they will one day unleash the love that you have placed in them, the potential to love that you've put in them. And you all have the potential, brothers and sisters. You all have the potential. The potential that's been birthed by your struggle. Many of you have struggled, and you should value your struggle. Don't sell your struggle cheap. When someone challenges your right to be here in this country, don't pack up and go to Canada. That's what happened. Imam Siraj knows he's in New York. You go down to the Pakistani alley, in Queens. That's all of Queens. You say, what happened to brother so-and-so? He went to Canada. The stores were empty. They did statistics. Maybe 1/10 of all the people packed up and left. Why? Because of September 11th. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ Where are you going to go? A few weeks ago in Canada, they had this big crisis, right? The Canada 21 or however, one young kids who were radicalized and they were going to go into the parliament and behead the prime minister, and it's all over the paper. Now all those people who packed up and left New York sitting in Canada feeling very silly. I thought I left this in America. People giving them the look that they were giving them in New York. There's one of them. There's one of them look. Now they want to come back to America. We mentioned Elijah Muhammad, we mentioned Marcus Garvey, another great African American leader, Booker T. Washington. What did he say, Imam Siraj? Booker T. Washington. About your bucket. Anybody, Booker T. Washington. I gave you a clue already, your bucket. Now cast down your bucket where you are. Don't look for fresher, sweeter water over there. Don't look for greener pastures over there. Cast down your bucket where you are. Allah's put us here. Allah's put us here for a reason. We're a law-abiding community. Cast down your bucket right here. Work, sacrifice, guard your struggles, guard your investment that you've made in America. Struggle to protect your investment. Cast down your bucket and drink from this water right here where Allah has placed us, in this place, in this time, in this land, right now. Cast down your bucket where you are and drink from this water. This is the water Allah Ta'ala has given us. And there's no sweeter water nowhere else on the face of this earth. And if someone doesn't want us to drink, then we just have to demand our drink of the water that we've put in our bucket. Cast down the bucket where you are, brothers and sisters. Love humanity. Don't be ashamed or afraid to love. But build yourself up. Imam Siraj said something in different words that I wrote. I was scribbling notes. What am I going to say? So I scribbled a few notes. He said, before, he used the metaphor of the life, the air mask, the oxygen mask in the airplane. And he said, before you can help someone else, you have to help yourself. And I wanted to say the same thing, but in a different way. I wanted to use the Arab parable, فَاقِدُ شَيْءٍ لَا يُعْطِي The one who lacks something can't give it to someone else. The one who lacks something cannot give it to someone else. So brothers and sisters, how can we show people that we love them? How can we show people that we love them? First of all, we have to build ourselves up. If we're going to show people, we show them through your action. Imam Siraj was talking about his wife. And if you went to Imam Siraj's wife and you asked her, do you love Imam Siraj the way he loves you? She'd say yes, maybe more. If that's possible. She'd add that. If that's possible. She got your back, Imam. maybe more if that's possible. But she's not saying that because of what Imam Siraj says. See, many of you out there, you might love Imam Siraj based on what he says. And not that he's a doer, but you're far from him. So you only hear him at these conventions. She loves him because of what he does and has done. She loves him because of his actions, not because of his words. She loves him because of his actions, not because of his words. So if we're going to show the people in this country and show the people in the world that we love them, we're going to have to show them through our actions, not through our words. Through our actions. And if we're going to show them through our actions, we're going to have to build ourselves up so that we have the ability, the capability to do something for them. فَاقِدُ شَيْءٍ لَا يُعْطِي. If you're lacking something, you can't give it to someone else. We have to educate ourselves. As a community, as individuals, we have to educate ourselves. We have to develop our skills. We have to build our organizations. As he said, if we knew how much the work that ICNA and MASS are doing and all the other Islamic organizations, the local masjid, there would be 500 people who would give $1,000. There would be 1,000 people in here. One out of every five or six, however many are in, would give $1,000. Because that work is showing people the power and the beauty of Islam. It's showing people. There's a sister that came up, she's running a shelter for women, Muslim women, in East Orange, New Jersey. That's the kind of action that shows people the power of Islam and shows people that someone loves them. So someone loves those sisters enough not to tell them they love them. That gets old. If you come home to your wife every 3 months, "Oh baby, I love you. Oh baby, baba, I love you. I love you more than a Barry White song could express. That's how much I love you, baby." That gets old. She's like, "Well, if you love me so much, how come you never come home? If you love me so much, how come you're not doing anything for me and the kids? If you love me so much, why don't you show me? I'm sick of hearing about it." When you do something for someone, that tells them in more than any amount of words could ever express that you love them. Because you're willing to go beyond words. And you're willing to translate your sentiment into meaningful action. To do that, we have to be qualified. We have to be qualified. If we're going to work for the legal rights of the legally dispossessed, starting with those at Guantanamo Bay. How come, why can Michael Ratner and the people working him with him at the Center of Constitutional Rights do things for other people? Because they have qualifications in addition to courage. They have qualifications in addition to courage. The people working and struggling for all humanity, Muslim and non-Muslim, at Doctors Without Borders, how can they do that work? Because they have qualifications. You have to be a doctor before you can be a Doctor Without Borders. And all of you medical students, get involved with that organization. It's based right here in New York. Help them because they're working in Muslim countries to bring relief to Muslims who don't have doctors. Get involved. But before you can do that, you have to become a doctor. And then you combine your medicine and your skills, your legal skills, your medical skills, your engineering skills with a vision. And that's the second thing. If you want to do something, if we want to do something for people, we have to have a vision. In the Bible, it states that where there is no vision, the people will perish. Where there is no vision, the people will perish. What vision do we have for America? What moral vision as Muslims, as a community, do we have for America? We need to cultivate a vision. We have to envision great things. We have to envision America where one out of five young African Americans is not in prison or between prison and the streets. We have to envision an America where you can walk down the streets of any city at any time of the day or any time of the night and you'll be protected. You won't have to worry about being mugged. You won't have to worry about being assailed by someone. You won't have to worry about being caught between the crossfire, between gangs, and all of these other things that are daily occurrences in our cities. We have to have a vision. If we can't envision it, we'll never bring it about. And we'll never contribute to it. And we'll never help those who are struggling to try to make those things a reality. We have to have a vision that emanates from our religion, from the teachings of our prophet, from the standards of ethics and morality. And they're not inconsistent with what other people of faith have. But as Muslims, it has to emanate from us. It has to come from within us. And has to inform how we would like to see this country. And then we have to work for it. There are those who have a vision. Their vision for America is putting the mechanisms in place so they can continue to loot this country. The way Enron is looting this country. And the way the defense contractors are looting this country. And the way everyone who can get their hand on someone else's money is looting this country. But we can talk about it. Where is our vision of serving the people, of giving to the people, not taking from the people? Serving the people. Some people have a vision for this country where there only be walled communities of the wealthy and walled communities called prisons for the poor. That's some people's vision for America. Right or wrong? That's some people, that's what they envision. Look, we're going to make this money to do it. We're going to have to exploit these people so they'll be reduced to crime, desperation, drugs. They might even be reduced to trying to take what we have. So we have to stop them. We have to put them in prison. We have to check them. That's their vision. We have to have a vision where the wealth is shared. And not just shared within the borders of this country, shared with the people of the world. Because they're paying for it. They're paying for it. The American dream in many parts of this world is a global nightmare. And if we don't have a vision for a world dream, where all of us share in what God has given to all of His children, then we're derelict in our duty as Muslims. So we have to have a vision. And finally, we have to dare to love. Love is a big part of Islam. Some people try to dismiss love. You know, they'll give marriage counseling. Brothers and sisters, you know, don't get caught up in this love thing. You know, that's Western kufar, kafir. We're Muslims, we're sober people, we're calm people. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ إِنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. From His signs is that He's made for you from yourselves spouses in order that you live together with them in peace and tranquility, and He's made between you love and mercy. So love is a part of our religion. Love holds our families together. Love holds our community together. مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَدِّهِمْ. The parable of the Muslims in their mutual love for each other. وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ مَثَلُ الْجَسَدِ. And their mutual mercy and their mutual affection. And we have to love, dare to love humanity. To love for them and want good for them. And to see any of them as potentially being better than us. say, well, we're Muslims, they're kafirs. How could they potentially be better than us? What did our Prophet say? An-nasu ma'adin. Ma'adinu al-dhahab wal-fidda. فَخِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَةِ خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. People are loads, like loads of minerals, loads of gold and silver. And the best of them before Islam will be the best of them in Islam. Anyone can be better than us. Anyone can be better than us. Love for them to be better than us. Love for them to do what we're not doing. Love, brothers and sisters. But the love can never be divorced from mercy. The love can never be divorced from mercy. Mawadda wa rahma, tawaddihim wa tarahumihim. And the mercy is the basis to transform that love into action. Mercy always involves action. Love is a motivating factor, and mercy translates that into action. Brothers and sisters, out of our mercy for ourselves, let us try to translate that love into action that we have for each other. Our mercy for our families, let us try to translate that love into action. Our mercy for our communities, let us try to translate that love into action. Our mercy for our country, let us try to translate that love into action. Our mercy for all of humanity, let us try to translate that love into action and try to measure up to that exalted standard of love and that exalted standard of mercy that was embodied in our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, who was only sent as a mercy to all of the worlds. Salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For more information on traditional Islam in America, please contact Zaytuna Institute at 510-582-1979 and on the internet at www.zaytuna.org, zaytuna.org.